All right. I want to, just to give me more opportunity to talk about Canada, I want to give you a little quiz here, okay? A little quiz. True or false, okay? True or false, Canada is always cold.
False.
Yes, that is right. The parallel line that goes through Gaylord, Michigan is the same parallel line that goes through Ottawa. And so if you had us on the map in the Great White North, miles from everywhere, that's the wrong idea. Sometimes we tell people that we're going to be missionaries to Canada, and they have this immediate idea in their mind that we are going to be going igloo to igloo, telling people about Jesus Christ. But that's the wrong picture. We won't be going igloo to igloo in a blizzard. We will be in a North American metropolitan city, reaching out that way, mostly through street ministry. You realize that when people live in skyscrapers, you don't go door to door. You're not allowed in the building. And so we will have primarily a street ministry. Also there in the suburbs, it is not illegal to put things in the mailboxes. And so churches for outreach and evangelism, they go box stuffing. And we're able to put things in the mailbox. And so that's a couple of ways that we will be conducting evangelism and outreach. All right, true or false? All Canadians speak French.
False.
Right. The primary speaking province is the province of Quebec. And we are right, as I explained earlier, we're right on the border with Quebec. And there's all around Quebec being the most of the population that speaks French. That French flows over into the surrounding areas. And the French people are very French proud. And that has an influence on the surrounding areas. All right, you're doing good so far. True or false, all Canadians say A. Okay, yes, mostly true. Okay, mostly true. A lot of them say A, and that's the part of the Canadian English that we will have to learn. I know where to insert it sometimes, but I would be missing it at other times. It's mostly at the end of they say right a lot also. So good night at church, right? And it's a insert when you're wanting someone to be agreeable, eh? And so that's usually the insert for that. And so they do say eh a lot. That flows over into Michigan, especially in the UP. There's Michiganders that say eh. Then, all right, the last one here, and I'm setting you up for something here, okay? All right. True or false, Canada is a mission field.
False. True. False.
Oh, man, I didn't expect that. Maybe I shouldn't have introduced it the way that I did. Let's try that again, just keeping it simple, okay? Canada is a mission field.
True.
That's right. True. And God had to do that work in my own heart. When God called me into the gospel ministry, I was 27 years old. Now I'm 37 years old. And as my testimony was in the video, I grew up on a dairy farm, and the family still has that farm. They milk 100 Holstein dairy cows to this day, and they drive only red tractors. Case International tractors. That was important to Grandpa and still is to Uncle Mark. And also the family had a construction business, Triple S Construction, and my dad is still a general contractor. And so now my uncle and his adult son do most of the farming, and then my dad and an adult brother do almost all of the construction. But I worked with them for 8 years before, 8 years as a young adult. Of course, when you grow up on a dairy farm, you work from the time that you can start carrying a bucket. But those years don't, I'm not counting those in the 8 years. As a young adult, I worked with family, and I praise God for calling me into the ministry. Moses was a farmer, Amos was a farmer, and there's others in the scriptures, but I pray and believe that if God could use a farmer then, he can use a farmer now. And so I'm a farmer's boy, a construction worker's son, but God has called me to preach the gospel. And I praise the Lord for him working in my life that way. I got on a little bit of a rabbit trail there, but we started with the true and false. Canada is a mission field. Canada is a mission field, and God had to do that work in my own heart when we were praying where in the world God wanted us, and he opened our eyes and hearts to the city of Ottawa. Another statistic that I have for you, there's about 300 independent Baptist churches nationwide in Canada. The number that I know of just for Michigan is about 500 independent Baptist churches, and that's a generalization of all independent Baptist, but just 300 nationwide. So most of our states have more churches than a church like what you would attend, more churches than the entire nation of Canada. So there's a great work yet to be done there in Canada. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 13 for the Bible message. Acts chapter 13. All right, and I want us to see tonight in the message, I want us to see the Great Commission Partnership. The Great Commission Partnership. And we're going to see from Acts chapter 13 that this is three it takes three, and we're going to see that here in Acts chapter 13. This where we're starting here in Acts chapter 13 is the place where missions started, as far as the way that we continue to do missions to this day. Now, yes, the entire Bible is a book of missions. There has always been a way that God has wanted to make himself known to the nations. And there's always been that in all of the scriptures. But the way that our churches are continuing to do missions, most of the details are right here in Acts chapter 13. And this was exciting to me, and still is, the first time that I've seen all of these details and how God wants to work in churches for the gospel to go around the world. And in this relationship, this Great Commission Partnership, we're going to see that this is the way that God wants to reach the world. And that's a pretty big statement. I know that I'm just giving it to you, but that's a really big statement. This is the way that God wants to reach the world. And what I mean by that is we're going to see how your church, with your pastor, you folks are the local gospel witness, and you partner with missionaries who will go and be the global gospel witness. You folks are reaching Jerusalem. You can't go to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost part, and that's where the missionaries come in. They go on your behalf when you partner with them to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. And so that introduces the direction that I'm going with this Great Commission Partnership. All right, here, let's begin reading in Acts chapter 13. And before I do, let me pause and pray, and let's ask God to help us in this short time that we have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this dear church family, and thank you for Pastor Manning and just the opportunity to be here. I pray that you will work in this service, help us to understand the Great Commission in a better way because of our time spent in the Scriptures. Please teach us. If there's someone here tonight that is not saved, I pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ and be saved tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 13, and I want you to help me all along the way here. The verse says, now there were in the what? In the church. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manine, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And so this first verse introduces a church, and it introduces five men. You have to maybe take my word for it for now. If you separate the titles and the locations, there's five men there. And it introduces this local church of Antioch, and this church in Antioch of Syria would be Paul's sending church for all three of his missionary journeys. He would go out on a journey, and he would return to multiple churches, but he would stay the longest and then be sent out again from this church in Antioch. And so this is introducing the start of this relationship. Now, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so now we learn from verse 2 that there's two of the five are separated for a new work. And this can be a good challenge in passing. There's five, and it seems that all five were listed as eligible individuals to be separated for a new work. And the challenge is, wouldn't it be great if our congregations had five individuals that were ready and willing and surrendered to go somewhere else if God put that in their heart? That would be great. Do you believe that? God still wants to call people into the gospel ministry. And for our family, this is the work that God has done in our hearts. We were at Fostoria Baptist Church, and we were attending and serving. And during that process of time, God put it in our hearts. He separated us from that ministry. He separated us from there and called us into the gospel ministry. And now we're going to labor in another part of God's harvest field. And so we see all of these details right here. And it was exciting to me when I first seen that. But this is the work that God wants to do. And we need to pray for this work to be done in our churches. You folks have a local church here. You have people that you're gathering and serving the Lord and seeking to fulfill the Great Commission. And you can pray and you can be surrendered. And we can all realize that God wants to do this work in our churches. He needs some to go somewhere else. He needs some to go where people have not heard. And so we see that happening here in this passage. Now, verse 3, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And this is what many practice to this day in a commissioning service. In January of 2013, my church ordained me to the gospel ministry. And when we... and at that time, it was part of an approval by the local church of God calling me into the gospel ministry. But then when we launch for the mission field, the church will have a commissioning service. And the men and the pastor will lay their hands on myself, my family, and they will commission us to the mission field. And not that there's anything spooky or supernatural about the laying on of the hands, but it is commissioning. It is praying over and sending with the authority of the local church. And this is the model that we continue to follow, this model that is here in Acts chapter 13. So this gives us I want you to see the twofold sending here. The first part of the twofold was that of the local church. We've seen that in verse 3. And when they, the church, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Then verse 4 is the second part of the twofold sending. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by who? The Holy Ghost. Yes, they were. So the second part is the sending of the Holy Ghost. They're sent by their local church. They're sent by the Holy Ghost. It says, they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so we're seeing exactly what God wants to do in our churches. The church being sensitive enough to pray and to fast for God to do this work in their congregation. And then just the awareness that God wants to call people out of local churches to go around the world with the gospel. And then the work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do this work. It would be tempting for a missionary to come through, and we would recruit. We need help in Ottawa. You know, I want you and you and you to come with me, and we're going to go preach the gospel in Ottawa. But I can't do that, can I? It would not work. It wouldn't be right. Maybe your pastor would like to separate some young people to go off to ministry training and enter the gospel ministry. But your pastor can't do that, can he? It wouldn't work. The Holy Spirit has to do this work. And we need to understand that. And we need to always remember Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The laborers are few, and we can be people of prayer. We can pray up and pray out laborers from our local congregations. And we see all of this happening here in this passage. I introduced the message and said the title would be The Great Commission Partnership. Who have we mentioned so far? We've mentioned the church. We've mentioned the missionaries. The two of the five, they were serving men, spiritually minded men, these five. The Holy Ghost separates two, and Barnabas and Saul, and they go on their first missionary journey. So we have the church, the missionaries, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. This work can be accomplished with this relationship. This work can be accomplished, and God wants to reach the world with this relationship. The relationship between the church, the missionaries, the preachers that go into the world, and the Holy Ghost. And we need to beg God to do this in our churches, to raise up preachers, and we need to have a burning heart's desire to send out preachers. And I pray that God will do this, that work, and he'll make it very real to you tonight. I want us to turn over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We've seen the start of the relationship. I want us to finish with the success in the relationship. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. All right, is everybody still with me? Okay, this is making sense. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a very familiar missions passage. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what I want to point out from this verse is there's two results of Holy Spirit filled. When the Holy Spirit comes, when we are Holy Spirit-filled believers, the verse says, ye shall receive power. We need that power today, don't we? Amen. To go out into this dark world and share Christ. You know, that is a blessing to me because this isn't something that I can go out and do in my, as Jeff Smith, the farm boy. That's not something that I can go out and do. But if I will focus on being a Holy Spirit-filled individual, I can have power from God to go out with this message. Then the second, he says, ye shall receive power, and it says, ye shall be witnesses. Have you been a witness recently? If you've been struggling with that, you can focus on being Holy Spirit-filled, yielding your life to the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you have the promise that you will be a witness. Your presence, your speech, you can be a witness with the Holy Spirit's help. Then he says this word, both. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Now, this is a curious word, okay? And let's talk about that. He says, in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So how many fingers am I holding up?
Four.
Is this the way that we usually speak of both?
No.
It's not. And so what is the interpretation of this? I believe it means we, the church, has a responsibility in both, in all of these areas, both near and far, both here and abroad, both. And so that is where this relationship comes together, this Great Commission partnership. You folks being the local gospel witness, partnering with preachers who will go to the Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part. Judea is, of course, Jerusalem is local. Judea was local, but it was same culture, same ethnicity. And those people need the gospel too, right? Then Samaria. Samaria was cross-cultural, cross-ethnicity. And we believe that will be most of our experience in Ottawa. We have so much to learn when you start talking to foreign people and learning about foreign religions. We have so much to learn and learn how to present Christ thoroughly and effectively to these people. Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And this is what we call Timbuktu, Africa. The farthest reaching place, the furthest reaching, hardest to get to, place way out there, the church has a responsibility in all of these locations simultaneously at the same time. The church is responsible to get the gospel to these locations. And when that happens, and you folks do support missionaries, and so you are working to this end in the Great Commission efforts through your local church. And I praise the Lord for that. So we've looked quickly at the Great Commission partnership. We looked at the start of the relationship in Acts chapter 13. And then we looked at the success in the relationship from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I pray that this has made sense to you tonight, and it has strengthened you in what your church is trying to accomplish, getting the gospel around the world. Let's pray, and I'll give the service to Pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here. I pray that from this message, we'll each have a burden in our heart of hearts to do all that we can do. Lord, I pray that you would show each individual their personal responsibility in the Great Commission. Our family, we know our small part, and I pray that you would show every person here their part. Lord, there's a lot of ways they can pray and give and witness locally. I just pray that you'll put a burden in each of our hearts to fulfill the Great Commission. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.